Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana legislators, these Montana lawmakers, they stay busy even in the off season. You know, we think about the Montana legislature basically being up and running for about 4 months every other year. And then, yeah, you've got some interim committee assignments, et cetera. But there is a lot of work that can be done in the off season. Great to have Montana Senate President Matt Regeer in the house with us here on Montana Talks. Mr. President, good to see you.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Montana. It's middle of football season. Hunt season's rolling. It's a great time to be in Montana, for sure. Montana fall.
Sometimes football season makes hunting season a little bit more challenging, but I'm going to figure out how to get all of it in here at some point.
That's right. We're Montanans. We can do it all.
Yeah, we might have to, you know, stay up late on a Friday night for a playoff game and then get up early Saturday morning to get a hunt in, but that's all right. We can do it. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, I know you've been busy attending a whole bunch of different events as Senate President, you know, National Conference of State Legislature events, et cetera, but sounds like this news that we were reporting here on Montana Talks caught your attention. Montana Teachers Conference exposed Superintendent Weighs In. Yeah, there was this woke teachers union conference pushing all sorts of anti-American critical race theory stuff, the woke LGBTQ DEI agenda. Your take on this, and then I think we've got some news to talk about on that front.
Yeah, this has really been the second year now that at least that has been exposed. I imagine it's probably been going on a lot longer than that. From the year before, when we knew that this was happening at these PRR days, we had a bill. Representative Jody Eschart had a bill. She's out of Billings, had a great bill. What was it? House Bill 557 that wouldn't have just curtailed that. What is ironic, it's a PIR days, pupil instruction related days, and it turns out it's not about pupil instruction, it's about just a liberal agenda and seeing how you can get that into our government run education system. So Jody had a bill. It was a great bill and ended up dying in the Senate, and we can talk about the progress of that and even the content of that bill. But this is all something that shouldn't be going on. We should have addressed it last session, and we're looking forward to addressing it this coming session.
Yeah, I just got a press release in my email inbox, so I'm assuming this has gone out across the state of Montana. Senate President Matt Regeer and State Superintendent of Public Instruction Susie Hedlund today announced legislation to end the practice of Montana teachers receiving educational credit for their participation in conferences promoting extreme leftist ideology and classroom indoctrination. So not only do we have Senate President Matt Regeer with us on the show today, we've also got State Superintendent of Public Instruction Susie Hedlund back with us to talk about this news as well. Stand by. We'll start with Superintendent Hedlund right after the break, and then later in the program, we'll get into your phone calls and take your messages on the Montana Talks app.
Securing America.
President Trump held a roundtable discussion Thursday to give an update on the fight against Western Hemisphere-based drug cartels.
In a matter of weeks, the task force has made the largest number of arrests of cartel leaders, operatives, and gang members in American history, more than 3,000 and counting.
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem said the aim is
to destroy these terrorists that have been killing Americans for years and getting rich off of it.
While Attorney General Pam Bondi said the efforts are paying off.
91 tons of drugs have been seized as a result of this task force.
She says that would fill 4 18-wheelers. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth says the U.S. military will not relent.
We will treat you like we have treated Al-Qaeda. We will find you. We will map your networks. We will hunt you down, and we will kill you.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into it here. Great to have Superintendent of Public Instruction Susie Hedlund back with us here on Montana Talks as well. Yeah, it was about 1 week ago, less than 1 week ago, when we had a young man join us on the show, 20 years old, Finley Warden. He grew up in the public schools in Missoula, and he actually sat in on the MFPE Educators Conference in Missoula. This was basically the teachers union conference put on by the MFPE, and he documented how presenters at the teachers union conference were instructing others on how to lie to parents, how to go around state law. They were pushing CRT, they were pushing this LGBTQ agenda, and so much more. Superintendent Hedlund, tell us about the news that is now out this morning.
Thank you. Yes, I am very thankful to President Regeer, to Speaker Regeer of the House for the Senate for helping us put this legislation forward. We're excited about this bill coming. I have great hope that this time we can gain more traction. Representative Etchart did a great job last session, but you know, I appreciate you also helping us bring this to the forefront. It is unacceptable to have these conferences to be talking about lying to parents about DEI. All districts just signed documentation to myself and to our president, to Trump this year, that they would be in compliance, that they would not do any practices that aligned with DEI in order to receive their federal funding. And our schools submitted that. So we sent out information reminding them of what they agreed to and that they need to follow it in order to keep their funding, to keep their accreditation. My job is to provide this guidance, and I want to make sure that our schools are teaching reading, writing, and math, that it's back to the basics, and that our parents can trust our public schools and trust in taking them there. But they deserve to know what their students are learning, and we have to have that transparency in place.
Isn't it amazing how little attention the rest of the Montana media paid to this big news? I mean, basically what Finley Warden exposed and what the Freedom Foundation exposed last year as well is that they had these seminars promoting radical gender ideology, DEI, nude child photography, sexually explicit books. I mean, that's what was exposed. And this reporting is basically being ignored by most of the Montana media.
Yes, taking a look at some of the materials was astonishing to me. For one thing, I just believe a lot of these social conversations need to happen in the home. And then just thinking about the age groups, when you look at these gender unicorns, you know, what age of children are we targeting? Obviously, young children, it's just appalling. We have plenty of work to do in reading, writing, and math. We have incredible teachers and school leaders across the state of Montana that want to do the right thing, that are working hard to educate students and what they need to know to be great citizens. And this is just taking away from all of that. I want to thank those that are doing the right thing. And I want to make sure that parents, you know, can feel comfortable bringing their kids to school. But this is what's harming us. This is what is taking away from our enrollment in our attendance in public schools. And at the same time, the unionist is saying that they're the ones, you know, that are there for public schools, when this is just taking that away.
So tell us a little bit more about this legislation. This legislation now has the backing of Speaker of the House Brandon Lear out of Savage, Representative Jody Etchart, of course, out of Billings, who had similar legislation last session, and then, of course, Senate President Matt Regeer is with us here as well. I know one of the things you mentioned last week is that you want to look at revoking providing the professional development credit for this woke teachers union conference, because there's other teachers union conferences and things that these teachers can go to, and not this woke, you know, partisan stuff put on by MFPE. What will this legislation do potentially in addition to that?
Thank you. Yeah, this would take away those awkward days. That is this archaic practice of having schools closed in the middle of October, when parents don't have childcare, just for the sake of the union conference. You know, when we started hearing the great coverage on this atrocious recent conference, the president and I started visiting, and, you know, President Regeer said he would like to carry this bill himself. So I'm very thankful, because there's no need to have these days. It's an archaic practice. There are opportunities all throughout the school year. The Summer Institute, which we put on, had a great attendance this summer, far beyond what the attendance that this recent union conference had, from my understanding. And it doesn't take away from the school days. There's a great virtual platform available on the OPI website, and then many other opportunities all across the state. So we are also, I want to make sure everyone knows, our professional development unit provider system is going through a major overhaul. We're going to use leverage technology to make sure that things are better taken a look at. We already have over 40 different professional development unit providers on notice that we need more details. We've been evaluating even before this came out. We were through a thorough evaluation of these providers. So we are going to dig in on this.
It's really interesting, too, that unlike previous years, apparently the MFPE failed to publicly put their conference agenda and sessions online this year. Huh. They knew that they had something to hide from the people of Montana, even though they're trying to push it on their kids in their classrooms. Very interesting. Hold that thought. We'll come back to Senate President Regeer right after this.
If you broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we're going to come back to Superintendent Susie Hedlund here in just a couple of minutes as well. We've got Senate President Matt Regeer joining us. And by the way, you know, we're going to talk more about this topic here. Senate President, State Superintendent announced legislation to end woke teacher conferences. We're going to talk about that for a few more minutes here. And if you want to jump in on the conversation on this topic, if you got a quick question or comment, you can call in right now, 406-294-0970. Or you can also message us on the Montana Talks app. Senate President Regeer is going to stick around for the rest of the hour. If you want to call in and talk about other news stories of the day, whether it's a state issue, a federal issue, or something else, we'll just mix it up for the rest of the hour. And you can jump in on the phone lines like any other open phones program here. 406-294-0970. President Regeer, you know, when our listeners hear, okay, fool me once, you know, okay, I got it. That's on me. Fool me twice, though. This kind of feels like one of those fool me twice types of things now. So the teachers union got busted last year for doing this same type of nonsense, pushing the LGBTQ agenda, pushing this radical gender ideology, pushing the, you know, this anti-American racist critical race theory stuff on teachers, telling teachers how to get around state law. And so there's probably a lot of people that are saying, wait a minute, why wasn't this stopped already? Because we understand there was legislation to bring this to a halt in the last legislative session, right?
Yeah, and that's absolutely what is the frustrating part for myself, as well as many conservative legislators, as well as much of the public. I think the public conservative voters out there, just voters that vote on parental rights and wanting to know that we came into the last session knowing that this was going on. And Representative Etchart had the foresight to introduce House Bill 557, and it made it through the House, went all the way over the Senate. It's a great piece of legislation that right now in law it says that the trustees of the school district shall close the schools for these PR days, and her bill changed it to a May. I mean, just once again, instead of unions dictating everything, it was local control, which is we all want to. Right now in law it says that these teachers can attend these meetings without a loss of salary. The taxpayers are paying for all this. So we came into the session knowing this. Representative Etchart knew that, introduced this bill, and it made it all the way over to the Senate. And then, of course, we had some eight of the Senate Republicans that joined with all the Democrats and voted to kill House Bill 557. Senator Senator Shelley Vance out of Belgrade down there that ran as a Republican, and she voted to kill this. But we could have stopped this. Senator Wendy McCamey, I was over there Cascade, Great Falls area. She voted to kill this bill. I mean, Republicans like that, that and nice ladies, but they're coming in and voting with the liberal agenda and the Democrats time and time again. And that's where I think we as conservatives get frustrated. The voters are getting frustrated. And they said, we sent you Republicans to come and deal with this stuff. And then you find out that there are some that didn't. So I don't know. I would encourage all you out there in Montana that we can't have any Trump apathy. I think a lot of times we think, hey, Trump got elected, Montanans, Republicans, conservatives own every statewide position here in Montana. Hey, we're good to go. I can relax now.
Sit
I can take
back,
my
kick back.
Foot off the pedal.
I think you're totally right. I think that's what's happening. In fact, I mentioned that several months ago. I remember we were having a conversation on the show here, and I don't fault the young lady who called in and said this, but when she called in and said it, I was like, oh, man. So have you seen the poster that says, make Bozeman, Montana again?
No, I haven't.
So it's right. It was right near Four Corners. I'm assuming it's still there. But our friends at Aspinwall actually put this poster up, and actually our Bozeman friends love it. It says "Make Bozeman Montana Again." So we were talking about it on the radio. We were taking phone calls, and so we had this lady call, and she's like, "Yeah, I just saw it. I was driving down, you know, past Four Corners, and I saw the Make Bozeman Montana Again sign." And she says, "I love it," but then she said something. Yeah, it's crazy out there, but you know what? Don't worry. Trump's got it all handled. Trump's got it all covered. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Trump's doing great things, don't get me wrong. But he's not going to be able to handle it all. We have got to get in the fight. We've got to be there, too, especially when it comes to these local issues.
Absolutely. You got to be careful which Republican you're voting for. Obviously, there's some woke Republicans out here that have done things like – I can tell you a lot of other things, from increasing the budget, 16% in general fund, or the property tax shift. I mean, we can go on and on about a lot of issues that the Democrats got across the finish line this time because of woke Republicans. So you got to be careful, voters, who you're voting for in the primaries.
It does make you wonder, okay, who is the MFPE funneling money towards? And are you voting against your own interest because MFPE is dangling some money out there? Because you know, we had Finley Warden on the show, and he played audio clips detailing what he saw and heard at this MFPE Educators Conference. But here's some of what is highlighted here in this joint press release from the Office of Public Instruction and the Senate leadership here, and the legislative leadership here from both the House and the Senate majority in Montana. According to recorded audio and testimony of people who attended the MFPE 2025 conference, Montana teachers were subjected to presentations that included an NEA employee promoting their six LGBTQ modules and gender unicorn to educators who teach grades as young as kindergarten, a DEI and art panel decrying the removal of a photography display of nude children, a librarian telling her victory story of bringing a sexually explicit book back to her library to provide to middle school students. This is just some of what they were pushing. No wonder, President Regeer, that the MFPE did not want to put their conference agenda or their sessions online like they've done in previous years.
It was kind of ironic, funny ironic, I guess, if you will, that the union now, MFPE, is saying, hey, don't listen to what Aaron Flint's got out there. Don't listen to Superintendent Hedlund. We come to us for the real story when it's recorded. It was recorded stuff, your own words saying it. So their own words are not.
That's a great point. So last week, Amanda Curtis, the former socialist legislator who, you know, was the Democrat Senate candidate in 2014, who heads up the MFPE, she says, hey, they're not putting out right information. Like you say, don't listen to what Aaron Flint is saying here. Okay, well, don't listen to me. Release the videos. Release all of the session videos. Release all the information, Amanda Curtis, and then people can decide for themselves what you featured at your conference.
It reminds me kind of Libs of TikTok, where the liberals get all mad at Libs of TikTok, and all they're doing is just replaying what the liberals are saying.
Yeah, just replaying your videos. Superintendent Susie Hedlund, well, first off, your thoughts on what we just talked about with President Regeer here.
Thank you so much. Exactly. Well, at least release the agenda. I mean, they won't even publicly release the names of the classes in the agenda, and it's all right there. So this is what we're talking about. We need transparency. All we're saying is the truth. And, you know, the days of hiding this ideology behind professional development are over as far as I see it. Thank Senate President Regeer for being a strong advocate for parents and parental rights, like many of our other folks, and hope that we can get this across this finish line this time. This will be the first bill draft request. This is the first bill draft request for the 2027 session. This is a huge priority of mine and of his, and I'm just very thankful to our leadership for seeing how important this is. We want classrooms that teach our students in Montana. We want students that, you know, learn how to read, do math, become great in science, and understand their civics. We do not want to indoctrinate our children. And I am thankful to have you guys standing with me to do the right thing here and make sure that our schools are listening. And, you know, we have superintendents and teachers around Montana coming out and saying that they're on the same page. We have superintendents and school leaders publicly sharing that they agree and they will be holding their staff accountable to the guidance that I'm putting out. And I'm very grateful for that.
Well, I know
there's
so many.
We need to get everyone on board.
Yeah, there's so many great teachers out there. And I mentioned it before. I mean, my own kids as teachers over the years have been like, hey, love your show. And we're totally with you. And, you know, but yet you've got this MFPE leadership that is so far left. I mean, and even like the teachers union leadership in Billings, they slapped their own teachers in the face with a mask mandate, even though all of their teachers voted overwhelmingly against it. And so what kind of accountability can there be for this woke, left-wing, partisan MFPE and teachers union?
We are, like I said earlier, we are taking a very close look at our PDU providers. So we are, you know, looking into that and investigating right now. We're going through all of the providers, but they're definitely on the list. And we have already put many of them on notice to provide further information. We have a new system that they will have to put much more detail in going forward in the future as we vet these professional development providers. So I'm looking forward to taking a strong stance on that. I think that our educators are also, you know, making these decisions on their own after what happened last year. The attendance was far down at the union conference, from what I understand. The OPI attendance at the Summer Institute was way up. The attendance at Malmstrom Air Force Base professional development opportunity, where teachers can learn about how to support military families, has they've had packed sessions.
Very good.
And those are the kinds of high-quality experiences that we want to promote.
I'd much rather go to Malmstrom than to some woke, left-wing, gender unicorn party. It's like this crazy stuff. All right, Superintendent Susie Hedlund, great to have you on the show. Thanks for being with us, especially with this big news here this morning just announced. We're going to take a quick break. Senate President Matt Regeer is going to stick around. We're going to talk ballot initiative drafts and so much more, and anything you want to talk about right after this.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
A very historic gift is helping secure the future of Montana ranching. Last week, it was announced by the Ranchers Stewardship Alliance that Dale and Janet Vesath, the Vesath Cattle Company in South Phillips County, have announced they will donate their 38,000-acre working ranch, valued at $21.6 million, to the Ranchers Stewardship Alliance. Dale Vesath says, "We're only here for a blink of an eye, but the land will outlast us."
The planet's 4.5 billion years old, but if you are lucky on a human scale, you can make it about 80. So we're just here for a little bit, and I think it's very important to the community, the economics of the region, and everything else to keep land working.
The VSS will continue running the operation throughout their lives, but the gift ensures the land will eventually be managed by the Rancher Stewardship Alliance, a rancher-founded and rancher-led nonprofit dedicated to keeping working lands intact, building resilient rural communities, and advancing community-driven conservation. And Dale Vseth hopes others consider doing what they did.
We hope that not only our gesture, but we'd call on others to consider the same options.
A very selfless gift to keep land in agriculture and help support the future of agriculture in Phillips County and across the state. I'm Wayne Nordlund.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, great to have Senate President Matt Regeer in the house with us here for the show. We're taking your phone calls. If you got something you want to talk about, if you want to react to the conversation in the first half of the show, or you got something else you want to talk about altogether, give us a call, 406-294-0970, or you can send us a message on the Montana Talks app as well. I want to talk about some of these proposed ballot initiatives. You can see the out-of-state left-wing dark money already flowing into Montana to prop up some of these ballot initiatives that they're trying to get on your ballot next year. I want to talk about that, but President Regeer, first, where do you want to start here? I know it's the off-season for the Montana legislature, but you've been, you know, kind of attending a lot of events, seeing the impacts of some of the newly passed legislation. What's standing out to you?
Well, one final thought here before we jump into that, I think on the education thing here to tie a bow on it, there's been a spotlight here on the negative what the education union is pushing, political radicalization. But I think there are a lot of good public teachers out there. I'm a product of the public education system. I always say it's the goodest thing that ever happened to me.
like a high school quarterback there. Huh?
That's right, Jack. But I got firm belief that we can turn the Montana government education system around, and Superintendent Hedlund to head that up. But I do think as we clean up that government education system, I think we need to. We had a school choice, and we had the Espinoza decision, Espinoza versus Montana, at the U.S. Supreme Court that said tax credits can go to that. We had a bill last time in the last session that was going to let people, instead of paying their income tax, they could pay for their school's kids' education or a scholarship to another kid's education. And that kind of school choice we've got to have in Montana, as well as a strong public education system. So I think there's a lot of good news on the horizon for education here in Montana. We just need the votes to do it. Back again, you got to make sure elect the right Republicans. Otherwise, we're not going to get it done.
School choice has been a continued success story here in the state. And not just so many people oftentimes think of it as, you know, public school versus private school. School choice itself is a big thing. In fact, some of the people who are taking the biggest advantage of school choice are public school teachers. Not only public school teachers who might have their kids in a private school, but public school teachers who, let's say, you're a public school teacher in Bozeman, but you live in Belgrade or you live in Manhattan, and you want your kids to go to the schools where you teach. You want them to ride in with you to the Bozeman schools. Well, you're able to take advantage of school choice to do what you feel is better for your kids, too. And that so often gets ignored in the school choice debate.
Yeah, we pit the systems against each other when really we're missing the picture of it's about the parents and the kids. At the end of the day, we need to focus on the kids and not what system is getting propped up or not. Let's make a strong choice for all those systems that kids can, or parents can send their kids where they choose is best for them.
Yeah, on that front, this is just one of my pet peeves. And I think the reason why I'm thinking federally is because I'm headed to Washington, D.C. later today for our Capitol Hill coverage here. We're going to be at Montana Coffee Wednesday morning. But, you know, okay, let's say, it deals with kids with disabilities in our schools. Yeah. Okay, I had one of my best friends in high school has cerebral palsy, and he needed support. He had an aide. He needed assistance for a variety of different things. What is so crazy to me is if you are a kid with a disability and you're in a public school, and that's you have
you have an aid that, that federal, there is federal support to provide for that kid with a disability. Like that's why we have some of these programs, is to help those who can't help themselves, right? And the federal dollars will follow the kid and help the kid if he's in a public school. But if he, if his family says, hey, you know what, this school isn't working out for him, we really think this private school over here might be a better fit for our kid with a disability, the federal dollars won't follow the kid. And you know who stands in the way of that? Teachers unions. Mm-hmm. Because they don't want these kids to have an opportunity. And it's just crazy to me, because it's like, okay, if you're going to college and you get federal financial aid or a student loan or a Pell Grant, you can go to the private school, Carroll College, or you can go to the public University of Montana or Montana State University, and those federal financial aid dollars will follow the kid, whether he goes to a private college or a public school. Why wouldn't we do the same with a kid with a disability in our K through 12 schools? But it's because they, you know, these left-wing teachers unions are so desperate to prop up the system that they will deny opportunities for kids with disabilities. It's just, that is so pathetic.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously kids with disabilities, I didn't extend that to everybody. I think every kid should have that choice. The parents should have that choice. So, I mean, competition is what made America great, and why the administration, it's really the administration. I think there are a lot of good public teachers, like I said, and I think it's the administration that wants to hold on to a monopoly, and that's not what's going to make it.
Your dad was a public school teacher, wasn't
that's
he?
That's right. 28 years he spent in the sixth grade.
Man, what is it?
Took him a long time to get out of sixth
they've
grade.
They've got some, especially in the Flathead. I mean, John Fuller, public school teacher. Your dad, Keith Regeer, public school teacher. They raised some good ones around here.
Yeah, I got a lot of good friends that are in the public, teachers in the public education system. Like I said, they do a great job. I think it's the few bad apples here that we're shining a light on that are pushing a political agenda instead of focused on the kids.
All right. Hey, we're going to go into your phone calls here, 406-294-0970, or you can send us a message on the Montana Talks app. Next up on the phone lines, we've got Kevin in Kalispell listening to KJJR. Kevin, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Good morning, Aaron. Just wanted to bring up a question for President Regeer concerning the topic of the first hour there of the power conference that the governor put on. I was wondering if President Regeer attended that.
I did not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was the one down in Bozeman. It was the Montana Chamber of Commerce had their energy conference. Yeah, yeah. What's your thoughts? I know you were particularly interested in biomass energy, because I remember running into you at the, I think at the Governor's Cup earlier this summer.
Right. Yeah, actually the governor asked me to sit in on that conference, but I was unable to go. I was just wondering, is there any discussion of using the massive amount of biomass that's going to be created from the current forest health projects, logging, and the huge amount that's going to be coming from the more of the forest projects, to tie that in with the massive amount of electrical generation that's needed through the state. Without markets for the biomass, the taxpayer is going to have to be taking that on to light that stuff off and send it up as pollution. And I just want to bring that up to.
Yeah, basically, if we don't take the biomass and convert it into energy, if we just leave that timber sitting out there in the forest, we're just more fuel for the forest fires. Yeah, President Kevin, thanks for the call. President Regeer, I know when we posed that question to the governor, because Flathead Electric hosted an energy summit back when the Governor's Cup event was going on earlier this summer, and the governor was all about biomass. Your thoughts?
Obviously I've been to a few conferences already this interim, and it is, energy is one thing that comes up to the top of all the other states too. It's you got Washington doing some radical stuff, and everybody's going to be short on energy. Everybody talks about the data centers and AI coming in, and how we're all going to be short on energy. So I think it is something you definitely got to take a look at kind of all of the above. And I was just talking to our commissioner up here, Randy Brodell. I was talking to him the other day, and he was talking about how the dump, as of the landfill, they've got an energy. I forgot how many homes he said, but it was higher than I ever thought. You know, I thought it was a few thousand, but it was way more than that.
Yeah, so I remember when Billings first started experimenting with that. You basically take the methane gas that's created at the landfill and convert that into natural gas, essentially, into power.
Yep, and they're doing that here at Flathead.
Yeah. Very interesting stuff. Well, what do you think, too, about the data centers? It's a huge economic opportunity, especially for rural Montana that really needs that tax base, needs that economic opportunity. But we got to have the power on the front end, or we got to figure out a way that they pay to get that power generation put in place so that the consumers don't get hit. But it seems like no matter what we do, we've got to build our energy generation capacity in this state.
Yeah, and the one thing on data centers that come in, because they use so much energy, is they were talking about building those with their own energy system that they can fire up right away. I think what we need to worry about for the people of Montana here is the brownouts that are coming. And cold day in the winter here, and you got to go on the open market. I mean, Northwest Energy did spend like maybe $1,000 a megawatt. It was something crazy. For a few days back in the winter. So they need to make sure that those data centers aren't sucking from the people of Montana when the people of Montana need it.
Yeah, and I know, the electric cooperatives have been having these conversations and with lawmakers as well to just say, okay, hey, we need to talk about, you know, how we bring this online, how they pay for it, et cetera. Stand by, quick break.
With now. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Also, if you need a quick energy boost, head to drinkpowerplus.com, drinkpowerplus.com. Yeah, Lee is a Marine Corps veteran in Big Fork, Montana. He created this product, you know, because he's a Marine. He likes to, you know, work hard, and he likes to get outdoors and play hard like so many of us Montanans do. And so, but, you know, if you're a veteran, you got those aches and pains, you need both. You need the power, but you also need the pain relief. So he combined it into one product. It's an energy drink that also has natural pain-relieving vitamins. So you can support this Montana product. Go to drinkpowerplus.com, and you can get 15% off when you use the code FLINT15, FLINT15, to get 15% off drinkpowerplus.com. Let's see, powering through for a few more minutes here with Senate President Matt Regeer. President Regeer, you know, I'm seeing yet another headline here. This one comes from the Montana Television Network. Supporters of judicial election initiatives challenge Attorney General's review. Boy, it's so obvious to see what's happening here, isn't it? You've got out-of-state money coming from these liberal mega donors, plowing money into these ballot initiatives, all to interfere in our judicial elections so that the left-wing mob can maintain control over our courts here in Montana.
Yeah, I remember when I first got into this gig way back in 2017, and out there we had a Democrat governor at that time, and talking with my colleagues from across the aisle, and they're like, oh, and we had the House and the Senate, and passed a Republican bill, and they said, oh, don't worry about it, it's just going to get vetoed. And then Gene Forte came in, ran a great campaign, took over that governor's mansion like we all cheered for, and then the narrative from those my friends across the aisle saying, oh, well, we'll just sue. Now it's even so. Now their backstop is the judicial branch, and you see that from, like you said, this big out of state money. Big money out of state goes, oh, Montana, you can change that narrative for $1 or $2 million and get that liberal agenda. You know, strengthen that stronghold for that judicial branch. So, it is a problem.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting too, because there's another proposed ballot initiative
that some Democrat operatives are going to try to get on the ballot, which is basically totally against the First Amendment. It would basically throw First Amendment rights out the window when it comes to campaigns and elections. And so, and they're complaining, well, the Attorney General says that this is unconstitutional. Yeah, because it is. But you watch. You have a blatantly unconstitutional proposed ballot initiative that would fundamentally stamp out First Amendment rights in campaigns and elections. But it won't do anything to stop the liberal media from pushing, you know, their free speech rights. But yet you watch as some liberal judge or the liberal Supreme Court says, oh, no, we'll allow this to move forward, even though it's a blatant violation of the First Amendment. And it's just so ironic because these same people who think that it's okay for a school teacher to celebrate the assassination of Charlie Kirk will then propose a ballot initiative that would fundamentally trample on First Amendment free speech rights.
It is interesting the strategy that the left uses here, especially to hide behind the word nonpartisan. Once again, it's just like a Republican hiding behind a Democrat hiding behind the label of Republican and running that way. I wish that whether it's the justices or legislators, they just be authentic about who they are and what they want to accomplish and what they're willing to. That's what's frustrating too, is what they're willing to blow up to get the end result. I think we're losing a lot of the integrity of the system. And probably some people on both sides of the aisle that have gone to the extremes and say, the ends justify the means. And that's not, I don't think, what America and Montana government system was founded upon.
I've heard that's one of the most frustrating things about the Montana legislature is that some people will vote against a bill they like just because they don't like the guy that carried it or the gal or whatever. And it's like, come on, people. Like, this is why we can't have nice things, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of voting and elections, 7% of ballots rejected so far in Yellowstone County following new state requirements. So now, in addition to signing with your signature your ballot when it comes to elections, you also have to enter your birth year right below the signature. I filled out my ballot. It's very obvious. It's very straightforward. But a good reminder to folks, hey, make sure you read the instructions. Make sure you pay attention when you're voting. Because this one's pretty straightforward, but apparently some people are missing it.
Does it say how many people didn't understand the instructions or how many people didn't understand what year they were born? You don't know the year you were born. Ugh.
Or was it not written in Spanish maybe or something like that? You know.
Yeah, you wonder what went wrong for 7%.
Feliz cumpleaños aquí, you know. Makes you wonder, though. But, yeah, maybe some people are so used to filling out a ballot that they didn't think to put the birth year in there. But it's just like, man. But a good reminder to folks, hey, make sure you read the instructions. And then while we're on that front, make sure you also research the people that you're voting for. Don't just vote for somebody because you know their name. Like research these candidates as well.
Exactly. And the same with the ballot initiatives. I mean, look online. There's some great voter information pamphlets that explain a ballot initiative. Don't just go off a headline.
All right. President Regeer, great to see you. Thanks for sticking around. Sorry we're out of time. The Joker's in tomorrow, and then I'm live from D.C. Wednesday.
Are you ready?